You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. The Forest County Potawatomi Tribe recently earned a national grant which will help preserve bat populations on tribal lands.
Wildlife managers with the tribe will use the grant to conserve northern long-eared bats and little brown bats in the area. The grant's part of a larger project with U.S. Forest Service to look at bat migration and the spread of the disease white nose syndrome.
Heather Stricker joins us now. She's a wildlife program manager at the Potawatomi Natural Resources Department. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So what are the plans in place for your team to use this grant to learn about bat populations?
Well, so as was mentioned, in the proximate term, we're looking to investigate roosting site characteristics and movement patterns of these two bats, little brown bats, which are state-threatened in Wisconsin, and northern long-eared bats, which are federally threatened. So what we'll do is we'll be trapping these two species in what are called mist nets, and once we remove them from the nets, we can affix tiny radio transmitters to them, and then we can use that to with radio telemetry to track them back to their roosting trees, which are the trees where females will give birth and nurture pups, and these are particularly interesting since several females will be in there in the same tree at the same time with their pups. And then hopefully we're going to also be able to track them to their feeding grounds, which will be a little more difficult since they're typically on the move while they're feeding. So we'll try to develop a method for doing that, and then we'll be able to identify those areas that are very critical to the survival and reproduction of these bats.
So once we can
identify those critical areas, then we can protect them from things like development and timber harvesting.
So having that information, Heather, will help you know, oh, we need to protect this area of forest because the bats roost here, and hopefully we need to protect this area because that's where they're feeding.
Correct. Yeah, that's the idea of the grant. But ultimately, we're actually working towards a longer-term, more complex bat conservation strategy. So this initial part that I explained, this is really going to tell us where are the bats right now, what are they using now, and how are they using it. But part of this grant will allow us to work with the Forest Service on some of their ongoing research, where they're actually taking genetic samples from the bats to study relatedness across the entire Great Lakes region. And this can help us get insight in the population structure and migration patterns between winter and summer sites. So then we can start looking at things like movement corridors and migration patterns and dispersal, and that can help us with a larger landscape scale conservation strategy.
Can you tell us a little bit about the bats involved in this project you're talking about? I understand it's the long-eared bat and the little brown bat. What do we know about them?
Well, these are two bats that have been hit the hardest, two of the bats that have been hit the hardest by white nose syndrome. So we're seeing some pretty serious population declines with these bats. So that's really the driving force behind this project, is to really try to hold on to those critical pieces of habitat for these bats while they're working on developing a cure, hopefully, for this devastating disease. These bats are insectivores, as are most bats in North America and the U.S. So these bats are really important in keeping forest ecosystems healthy by controlling these insect pests and preventing mass defoliation from the forests that are so important in the Great Lakes region.
How big an impact has white nose syndrome had on these two species, especially here in Wisconsin and in Forest County?
Well, I don't think we can really quantify yet how big the impact has been specifically for Forest County. White nose syndrome was just discovered in both Wisconsin and Michigan in the spring of 2014. So we're still waiting to really be able to quantify that. But on a national scale, since 2006, it's an estimated 7 to 8 million bats that have died since that disease was discovered in 2006.
I know that logging is another issue at play here. How has logging impacted the bats, and how do you expect it to play into the goal that you're working toward of conservation down the road?
Well, simply put, not only are forests critical to bats, but ultimately bats are critical to the forests as well. So really I can actually see these, you know, timber harvesting and forest health working in chorus with bat conservation. So a study like this can actually possibly ease the burden that endangered species restrictions might impose on timber harvesting, because we're seeking to identify those areas that are most critical to bat survival and reproduction. So once we can really identify those areas and those habitat features, then we can really focus on conservation of those areas while at the same time still allowing timber harvest to occur in areas that are less critical or during less critical time periods throughout the year.
We're talking to Heather Stricker from the Potawatomi Natural Resources Department, looking at a new grant that's going to help them study bats in their area and then come up with plans to help protect two major bat species here in Wisconsin. Heather, you mentioned the migration corridors you're talking about. How important is it for you, the U.S. Forest Service, to partner with, I would guess, a lot of different parties to come up with a plan to protect these bats?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely partnerships are going to be key in this. There are several interested agencies that really have a stake in bat conservation, including some industries that I suppose you probably wouldn't think of. You know, one thing worth noting is that a recent study showed that bats provide over $4 billion worth of pest control to the agriculture industry, and that hasn't been quantified yet for the forest industry. But you can see how bats can play into the environment and as well as economy and industry, recreation even when it comes to forest health. So there's a lot of interested parties, and partnerships are going to be very important in coming up with cohesive strategies for conserving these creatures.
It seems like before Whitenough syndrome, people had sometimes a kind of an irrational fear of bats and didn't like getting them in their houses. Now it seems as though they're viewed a little more kindly because they're a vulnerable population right now that we recognize has value in the ecosystem. But do you think bats still need good PR so that people care about them, or do you think people are already on board with bats?
Oh, yeah, I think bats can always use some good PR. I've actually tried to do this a little bit by getting people to maybe Google search pictures of flying foxes, which are actually out of Australia, but they look like flying foxes. So I get people to just get a glimpse of a cute bat, you know, quote unquote cute. And that has actually turned people around a little bit. But another thing I think that people are recognizing is the value of bats in pest control. And so when we've got things like West Nile virus and the new Zika virus, I think people are taking a little bit more interest in bats. And, you know, it's terrible that it takes a human health issue to bring this to the light and bring the value of bats to light. But I think that is contributing to that in some ways.
Well, Heather, can you spell out some of the timeline of this research you're doing with the grant and then hopefully being able to put something into practice?
Yeah, this year, as far as the spring of this year, we'll just be doing some background research and getting together some equipment and stuff. And then starting next year, we should be able to hit the ground running with some field work, getting out there and trapping the bats and conducting our radio telemetry and locating roost trees. And then in the 2 years following that, that's when we can really start analyzing some data and doing some habitat suitability modeling and things of that nature.
Do you expect there's reason for immediate concern? We know about the white nose syndrome, but in terms of how the bat populations are faring in their health, is it urgent?
Yeah, it's very urgent. In fact, I got a message not too long ago from a Fish and Wildlife Service employee that said, take note of bats you see this year because we probably won't ever see bats like this again in Wisconsin. So it's definitely an urgent issue, and so hopefully we can have some positive impact there.
Let's bring in a caller. We've got Katie on the line in Clinton. Katie, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. We have a house that actually has like two colonies. We can actually pinpoint where the colonies live, and they're in our house up in the eaves, up in the attic, and they've been there for, oh, Christ, years. You know, they disappear in the fall, and then they come back in the spring. I don't know if they're the little brown bat or the big brown bat, but they're one of those. Is there anything that we can do to help? I mean, we consider them our bats.
Gotcha. Katie, thanks for that call. I don't know if you have specific advice for her house, but Heather, can homeowners play a role in helping protect bats?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think for a long time, the first reaction would be to kill a bat that was in your house. And we're kind of hoping to see some change with that. There are a lot of professional bat removal companies out there that can come in and use, it's called exclusion fencing, to get the bats to come out, but then they're not able to come back in. So if it's somebody who's not quite so friendly towards bats that really wants them out of their house and gone, really the best thing you can do is call one of these professional services that can get the bats out without harming them. If you'd like to see more bats around your yard or maybe on old buildings such as barns or something of that nature, people can install bat boxes, which are really effective for bats in the spring and summertime. They do migrate away during the winter to their winter hibernaculums, but in the summertime, bat boxes are really important for bats.
I want to go back to what you said about being told that you should watch the bats this season because you may not see them again. Does that mean there might be species that we just don't see in Wisconsin, or just that the numbers are going to be decimated?
Well, a little of both. Little brown bats are probably the most populous bat in Wisconsin up until this point. But because of how hard it's been hit by white nose syndrome, we're going to see a pretty massive drop, most likely, in little brown bats. There are other bats that actually are not cave hibernators. They're migrators, so they'll migrate down south during the winter. Those bats are not hit as hard because white nose syndrome is exclusive to cave ecosystems. So we'll still see those migrating bats, but they've never been the most populous species in Wisconsin anyway.
Heather, briefly, as we wrap up, are you hopeful that this new grant that'll allow you to study and work with bats is a good first step, a positive first step to coming up with good strategies to protect these bats?
Well, I definitely hope so. I think it's really going to help the summer bats, the bats that are out that are in their roosting trees and trying to raise pups. There is also hope for white nose syndrome. There's actually a potential cure that's being tested right now. This was actually developed by researchers with Georgia State University as well as the U.S. Forest Service, including Dan Lindner, who actually hails from Wisconsin. And they've actually been able to cure and release 75 bats that were treated in a laboratory setting. So there's some hope that this might be able to get deployed into the wild here fairly soon, and hopefully we'll see some positive results that way.
Well, Heather, good luck, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Wildlife Program Manager Heather Stricker talking about the Potawatomi Tribe's efforts to preserve bat populations in northern Wisconsin.